Trinity Sunday, the church invites us to stretch our minds and our hearts and consider the most sublime and glorious truth of our faith, the very nature of God. That the one true God is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, subsisting in an eternal exchange of love. Now, absolutely, that is lofty theological language. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 221, then tells us why this lofty language is so important to us. By sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. The Trinity and the life of the Trinity is God's innermost secret. Paragraph 221 then continues, and this is the pearl of great price. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, and he has destined us to share in that love. And he has destined us to share in that exchange. More than anything, that's what God wants for each of us. As we heard in the second reading, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The greatness of God's favor is that we are invited to be members of God's family. We would never discover our greatness and our dignity had God not revealed it to us. At the same time, though, we have to be careful to not water it down, to think that we understand it because we can say the words. We're talking about the nature of God. In the first reading, the disciples were called to the mountain of the Ascension. And on the mountain, the disciples show us that there's this tension when we encounter God. It says, they worshiped, but they doubted. Spiritually speaking, we are called to the mountain, but to a more glorious one. We're called to the innermost secret of God. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to be overwhelmed, to think ourselves unworthy, as long as we don't prevent ourselves from welcoming God's invitation. God wants more for you than to just know about his innermost secret. He wants you to penetrate it, to be immersed in the life of the Trinity. But how? The starting point, hopefully we know, is baptism, when we receive that initial gift of the Holy Spirit. However, the most powerful and immersive way is through the Mass and the reception of the Eucharist. The Mass immerses us in God's innermost secret. If you listen intently to the words of the Mass, you will hear the conversation between Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit on our behalf. Jesus gives us this gift of the Mass as a tangible time and space encounter with God to help us share even now in God's eternal exchange of love. What can that mean for us? Well, for me, it means that I don't come to Mass merely to pray or to fulfill an obligation. I come to be with God, to receive him, to worship and adore him. I come to hear what God has to say to me, to respond to his goodness, to ask for mercy for myself and for others, and yes, to share in his innermost secret. If I don't understand what God is doing in this place, in this community, then I'll make the tragic mistake of thinking that I come to Mass merely to say some prayers and to check a box. Well, there, that's done. But if we can begin to recognize the Mass for what it is, a sharing in God's innermost secret, then we will begin to see life and the world differently. This points to one of the greatnesses of St. Thérèse of Lisieux's autobiography, The Story of a Soul, the book that helped her become a doctor of the church. Why? Because in it, Thérèse captures and navigates this tension that the disciples experienced on the mountain. They worshiped, but they doubted. On one hand, Thérèse clearly understands that despite being a mere creature, she is God's precious little child, as we heard in the second reading. At the same time, though, she penetrates the mystery of God's self-emptying love, and she immerses herself in it. Through her simple style and her down-to-earth examples, she offers us a glimpse of what it's like to live in the light of God's innermost secret. In the Catechism, immediately after paragraph 221, the next several paragraphs summarize the fruits and the blessings of sharing in the life of the Trinity. And they're a perfect summary of what Thérèse illustrates in her autobiography. Paragraph 223, it means coming to know God's greatness and majesty. Paragraph 224, it means living in thanksgiving. Paragraph 225, it means knowing the unity and dignity of all men. Paragraph 226, it means making good use of created things. Paragraph 227, it means trusting God in every circumstance. St. Thérèse of Lisieux was so rooted in her relationship to the Trinity that she understood that her prayers were powerful because of the purity and simplicity of her relationship with God, not the cleverness and eloquence of her prayers. She writes in her autobiography, she says, "When I feel so spiritually barren that I can't summon a single worthwhile thought, I say an Our Father or a Hail Mary. These two prayers fill me with unexplainable joy, and they feed and satisfy my soul." You see, Thérèse didn't say prayers just to finish her prayers or to check a box. She prayed to be with God and to enter the eternal exchange. Your relationship with God will have some aspects that are common to all Christians, to all of God's children, but you'll also have other elements that are uniquely your own, because God's encounter with each of his children is as complex and personal as each individual soul. Our God loves us so much. So you see, look at the lives of the saints. They aren't cookie cutters of each other. They're as different as the earth and the sea and the sky and the stars, but they have something in common. They all penetrated God's innermost secret. What would it be like to have that kind of intimacy with God? Are our hearts able to be moved with unexplainable joy by the simple praying of the Our Father or the Hail Mary, by the singing of the Gloria, by the celebration of the Mass and the reception of Jesus in the Eucharist? They can be. As we're told in the second reading, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus has and everything that Jesus has won, God wants to give to us. It begins with a more conscious sharing in the life of the Trinity. God has destined us to share in his eternal exchange of love. Let us pray for the desire to penetrate God's innermost secret more every day, beginning with the rest of this day's Mass.